Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your great and mighty love with which you have loved us. Thank you because we know we are so loved by you. Thank you for your word that keeps coming to us day in, day out. Thank you because we keep getting better by your word. We give you all the praise. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that is here with us, always there to help, to direct, to strengthen. Thank you. And Lord, as we get into your word again today, we ask that our eyes of understanding is indeed enlightened. We pray for your revelation knowledge, the knowledge that passes all knowledge, the knowledge beyond that which we can even communicate, that by your spirit, our minds and our heart opens up to your plans and intention, and we're able to understand your logic even much more. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Right. You know, filled with the Spirit is the topic we've been considering. And I just want us to pay attention, because if we don't clarify it to ourselves, you may misunderstand us. All right? You may misunderstand why we emphasize or why we do the things we do. All right, and we don't want that to be the case. We want to be able to clarify and make it as simple as we can so that everyone can be on board as to why, as to what, as to, you know, things that we are trying to clarify. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. We started looking at this last week. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. He gave an instruction there, all right, a contrast. He said, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's why we picked that instruction for the title, you know, the our conversation for the next couple of weeks that we started last week from. We said this is an instruction that Paul gave to believers. Already people that are born again, people who have received the Lord Jesus, who believed already in the Lord Jesus. And last week we clarified that the moment you believed in the Lord Jesus, the Spirit is not coming the second time, or it's not coming after. The day, that moment, that point in time, we have the Holy Spirit. Every believer that has confessed the Lord Jesus has got the Holy Spirit indwelling him or her, indwelling us, all right? It's like saying that I'm alive, but I'll get oxygen later. No, all right? Oxygen, all right, you know, it goes with life, okay? So a believer has got the Spirit of God. But then we have, you know, then comes the question where Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Does it mean that the Spirit's level go down? Is it a liquid? Do we dissipate the Spirit? What does it mean? All right? And that's what we're trying to study in this series. All right? So to say, what does it mean? The last week we clarified what it means to be indwelt by the Spirit of God. All right, we said there is an indwelling of the Spirit of God. We said we're going to look at that today again. Okay, to see, and we said that was what happened to us the day you confessed Jesus as Lord. The day you received the life of God. All right, we said that was what happened to the believer, every man, every woman, anywhere in the world who has confessed Jesus, who believed in the Lord Jesus, we said that man, that woman, all right, has the life of God in him or her. Praise God. Now, that's the indwelling of the Spirit. Then we later again clarified what it means to be filled with the Spirit. We began to clarify it, and that will be the bulk of our study in this series. I want us to see what I'm talking about here, all right? Now, example of Paul and Peter being filled repetitively. being filled by the Spirit. Because what you get to, what we get to know is that the indwelling of the Spirit is once and for all, sir. All right? So the day you believed in Jesus Christ, the Spirit comes to dwell. Bible says it will abide with the believer forever. It dwells in the believer forever. All right? Now, but then the infilling of the Spirit, all right, is from time to time. It happens again and again. All right? Now, let me not preempt my thoughts. Let's look at what I'm talking about. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. This will be the first, again, we'll come back to this maybe next week or the upper, where we're going to reread this, just to reread it, after clarifying things, we'll come back to this. But let's see. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask some questions there. And began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance, all right? So we saw here that this will be the first time, okay? That we, that the Holy Spirit will be introduced. You know, people became born again. Peter and the other disciples and all right? But we saw they were filled with the Spirit, all right? So, but then as you read on, in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Don't forget, Peter was part of this man. All right, here, leave this, all right? In Acts chapter 2 that we've just read, Peter was part of those that were filled, of course, he himself and the rest of the 11 disciples or the other disciples, all right, will be the ones to preach on that day. So he was part of them. So he was part of those that was filled on the day of Pentecost. Now, that day of Pentecost, again, we clarified the other day, okay? Now, another time, rather. Look at it. Chapter 4, verse 8. 4 verse 8. Act 4, 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, all right? So again, this is another instance, Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't forget Act chapter 2, all right? Time had passed, all right? Events had happened. Now, this is another scenario here, all right? They left that, this is not the day of Pentecost, okay? Now, there's an account of him here being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that same chapter, verse 29 to 31. But let's not combine it. Maybe we'll do two. Yeah, thank you. Look at this. So, I'll give us the background here. We talked about this last week. Peter and John had gone to the beautiful gate to heal the lame man. They were threatened never to preach in the name of Jesus again. All right? Now, that was the same scenario. But we've seen here that Peter was filled with the Spirit. Now, again here, he will now bring the news of the truth from the elders of the church and the government of the day, all right, to them. Now, they will come together. Bible says he went to their own company. And when they've come together, they now began to pray. All right? So, okay, let me not conclude because I want us to do the conclusion later. Now, so part of their prayer, all right, verse 29. Now, Lord, all right, don't forget John and Peter, they had come to their own company, meaning the rest of the disciple, the rest of the church, all right, and they began to pray. They gave praise to God, you know, and all. But then look at it. It says, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness, they may speak your word. 30 and 31, if you can just combine that. Thank you. Look at it. By stretching out, so don't forget they were praying, okay? By stretching out your hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Now, look at it, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all, now pay attention now, look at it, all right? So they did something, they prayed, now, and they were all filled. So it means that we can trigger before, maybe I'm jumping now, before the trigger, that would be another time of them being filled with the Spirit. And that's Saint Peter. Peter is part of Peter, and John will be part of this men. All right. So it says when they had done this, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what will they do when they were filled with the Holy Spirit? It says they spoke the word of God with boldness. Please pay attention. Let's drive together. So what I'm trying to say to tell us is that there is the infilling of the Spirit that happens repetitively, that happens continuously, that happens not just once and for all right? And that it's not automatic. It can be triggered. There are things that believers can do. Hence, Paul giving that instruction that be filled with the Spirit. So when he says be filled, it means that you can do something about being filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And we mentioned last week, if you notice in all of the instances or references where men were filled with the Spirit, you won't read that and God filled them with the Spirit. It will be they were filled. They took the responsibility upon themselves to fill themselves with the Spirit. Let's drive faster. I want us to see Paul as well. All right? We'll begin to clarify some things. I just want to establish this point very well. But because what you will get to know is that it's Luke alone that made reference to, that used that word being filled upon indwelling. It's Paul that did, sorry, not Paul, Luke that did that more. But let's put that aside. Let's understand, okay, what did he mean when he said, when he said that? Acts chapter 9, verse 17. Acts 9:17. So this will be Paul on the, you know, on his Damascus experience. He had met Jesus. You know, he now at this point is blind. Jesus had appeared to Ananias, a certain disciples. All right. Now pay attention. Let's now read the story. Let's now read what Jesus, what Ananias said. All right, to Paul. And Ananias went his way. After he hesitated and all, we know the story. And went his way and entered the house, he laid his hands on him, that's Paul there, and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you come, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled. Now, notice, at this point, Paul was already a believer. So he's not saying, I'm being indwelled. All right? Because at this point, Paul had already believed, though a new convert, a new believer, but Paul had already believed. All right? But then you will get to know that Jesus will send Ananias, all right, to Paul to make him regain or receive his sight, all right, and be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Very important. Let's drive faster. But then, that would be the first time of Paul being filled. You wonder again, well, Paul, maybe once and for all, but no. Acts chapter 13, verse 9. Look at it again. All right? Again, let me save us the background. It takes time to clarify. Let's go straight into it, okay? Then Saul, who is also called Paul. What happened to him again here? Filled with the Spirit. Look at it. It is Paul that is filled with the Spirit. All right. Look intently at him. So we see again here Paul being filled with the Spirit. That same chapter, verse 52. Acts 13:52. Look at it again. So Paul with the other disciples and all of them. Bible says again, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Spirit. So they were filled with joy and with the Spirit. All right? So it tells us that the infilling of the Spirit of God is repetitive, is continuous, is something you and I can do something about it. All right? And I want us to understand that and get it. All right? Now, let's pack that or put that somewhere. And consider two major prophecies in the Old Testament. two major prophecies about the giving of the Spirit of God. Two major prophecies about the giving of the Spirit of God. Let's look at that. Let's look at it. Ezekiel chapter 36, 24 to 27. Maybe we take it 2-2 so that we can read it. Ezekiel, thank you, 24. Look at it. For I will take you from among the Gentiles. So this is a prophecy. Oh, if you have not been attending our midweek service, we'll be talking about one Christ, one story. You may not just be doing right. You just want to be part of that meeting. We'll be considering the Old Testament, you know, prophecies, what they know vis-a-vis what the New Testament has told us. Please, you want to be part of that. It's very important. It helps to reinforce our conviction of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's leave that and move on here. For I will take you from among the nations. Again, when you see nations, they don't think he's talking about, you know, Iraq, you know, no. All right, he's talking about people. But let's look at that. Gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water. That is now you're going to see the usage of clean water now. All right. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. All right. So it means that when, you know, the prophecy is that God said he will sprinkle clean water. All right. So again, like I've said, this will be the genesis of baptism, of sprinkling water and all of those. All right. But then it is a prophecy. It's a type. And it's going to clarify what it means. Okay. And you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Now, can water clean from idol? Not necessary. No. All right? So you need to know it's a parable. It's in type. 26. It's clarifying what he meant here. He says, I will give you a new heart. Look at it now. And put a new spirit where? Within. Within you. All right? I will take the heart of stones out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit, again confirming that, within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgment and do them. So there is a prophecy there. There is a promise of God that he says, I will put my spirit within you. Hallelujah. All right. So let me just read the commentary there quickly. All right. So this talks about the nature of the believer. It talks about God changing the nature of everyone that has believed. Can we agree with that? All right. So he says the heart talks about the core of that man, of that person. The operating system, what governs the life of that man. That's the heart. So important. All right. But he says he will change, he will give a new heart. And how will he do that? By the giving of the Spirit. All right. Or by the sprinkling of water. That we can now interpret and call the giving of the Spirit of God. Can we agree on that? Does that make sense? Praise God. All right. So, and what that will do is that it will cause us to now walk. Because of the Spirit of God, it will cause us to walk in his way. All right? Yeah. In his, I want to say his way or ways. Is it way or ways? In my status, you keep my judgment. Okay, praise God. All right, so now let's move on. All right, so it's the inward transformation, all right, that happens at salvation. We've clarified that, all right, and this is what we call the indwelling of the Spirit. This work here, God will do it. God does the work, and our role is to believe. Hallelujah. God does the work, and our role is to believe, and that's what we've clarified, all right, that at salvation, or at accepting Jesus, at believing in Jesus Christ, all right, we the Spirit of God comes. In other words, in Ezekiel's time now, we are cleansed. All right? God sprinkles water on us. All right? Now, not pure water, not clean water, but we know what that water means, okay? So it's the Holy Spirit, all right? So the Holy Spirit changes the nature, the configuration of the man upon salvation, all right? It gives him a new heart, a heart that can walk and obey the status of God. Again, this is the work of God, all right? Our role here is to believe. But then look at the second prophecy of the Old Testament that talks about the giving of the Spirit of God. Joel chapter 28, verse 27. Joel 28. Sorry. Joel 2, 28 and 29. I was wondering, I didn't have 27. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. Look at it. And it shall come to pass, after that, I will pour out, look at it, pay attention now, look at it, all right? Now, on, there's a difference in that, that's called, is that adjective, all right? Or preposition? Preposition, thank you. Thank you, all right? So, in that preposition there, all right, it's on, not within, all right? Now, look at the resultant effect. Now, the resultant effect of the Spirit of God within, it changes the nature. We walk in His ways, all right? We you know, it is a new heart. Praise God, all right? Now, look at this. Look at the effect. What comes out on God, pouring His Spirit upon all flesh. It says, your sons and daughters will or shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. All right? It talks about they will do something. Hallelujah. It talks about doing 29. Let's do 29, verse 29. And also on men servant, sorry, on my men servant and on my maid servant, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Again, it does not exempt the male or the female. All right? It's everyone. So it says that it will pour its Spirit, all right, upon all flesh. So this speaks about expression, service, ministry, meaning the pouring out of the Spirit upon the man will cause him to do something. He will prophesy, he will see visions, he will dream dreams, not just male alone or female alone, male and female both will be able to do something. Hallelujah. Talking about the infilling of the Spirit. All right. Now, the Spirit upon is about empowerment. It helps us to do something. All right. And this is what we call the infilling of the Spirit. All right. Like I've said earlier, it is continuous. It requires the believer's participation. All right. We're moving on now. All right. Don't forget the indwelling. God does it. All right. He cleanses us. All that we do is to believe. And upon salvation, the Spirit comes to indwell the believer. In doing so, once and for all, permanent, He never leaves. He's there. May be dormant, we may do nothing about it, all right? But then it's there. God is faithful to His word. But then there is also another prophecy. He says that it is going to be upon. That Spirit will be upon. We're saying that's the Spirit upon, the infilling of the Spirit, okay, it makes the believer do something. It prepares the believer for service, for ministry, all right, to serve the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, let's come to the New Testament, and I will ask us some questions now. Just to again get some feedback about our, you know, maybe I'm clarifying things properly, I'm confusing people. Praise God. John chapter 14. I will ask us which of the prophecies does what we're about to read now does it relate to? Okay, we say, is it Ezekiel or Joel? Praise God. Okay, Ezekiel. John chapter 14. John 14, verse 16. John 14, 16. And 17. If you can just, let's combine both together. Thank you. And I will pray the Father, and will give you another helper, another comforter, KJV says, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor know Him. Look at this one. But you know Him, all right? For He dwells with you and will be in you. So what prophecy is this? Ezekiel or Joel? Am I confusing or convincing? Praise God. You know, with these people of mine, you know, accurate timekeeper, you know. Anyway, praise God. Let's save time. All right. So look at it. So it says here that that spirit will be in. So John's emphasis here, all right, will be the fulfillment. So Jesus will, you know, Jesus will now be the executor who will execute. He says, I will now cause that prophecy to be fulfilled in that upon my death and burial and resurrection, all right, I will ask the Father and he will give the Spirit. We still have a distance to go today. I need to travel very fast. Now, Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, 48 and 49. Look at it. Now, look at it. And you are witness of these things. So before, of course, we are jumping to the middle of a thought. We don't have the time to clarify the context. But then, you know, Jesus had appeared to them. Before now, he had clarified things to them from beginning from Moses to the prophets to all the Psalms, you know, clarifying to them the things concerning himself. All right. And I said, you are witness. You saw these things. All right. You are my witness. You saw, I mean, we are not witnesses in that sense, in that we're not there. All right. All right. None of us, but this, hey, you saw these things. All right. You were there. You saw it. Okay. Now, pay attention now. He says, and behold, pay attention now. I send the promise. Where would this promise be? Old Testament, all right? We're about to singular. Of course, there are so many, several times this promise was made, okay? I send the promise of my Father where? Upon you, all right? But tarry. It told them to tarry, to wait, okay? It's important. We're going to come back to that, all right? But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now, this, my Father upon you, what promise or what prophecy is this one? Ezekiel or Joel? All right? It says, because I will pour out my spirit upon the believer. All right? Now, Luke continued in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Let's read Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power. Look at it again. You shall receive. Now we're coming back to that word receive. We're going to open it up a bit, but look at it before that. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon, all right, has come upon you, all right, and you shall be my witness. Okay, you can now see, you can now begin to see now, all right, there's a coming upon that makes for witnessing, that makes for service, that makes for ministry, that makes for doing something, all right. But then, and you shall be my witness. You shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. All right. So again, that will be the fulfillment, all right, of the Joel's prophecy. But I want us to pay attention, all right, because this is where we're going to now. All right. Let us see Jesus's instruction, because all of this will be Jesus's last or closing instruction when he was leaving. All right. He was giving them instruction, wait, tarry, receive Holy Spirit and all. All right. I want us to open up that well. All right. So that we can see now. How many of us I think a better way to ask is, can we all agree that believers, all believers, all right, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God? Yes. There is no exception. All right. So there's no Lord, I believe you, then I also need to go fasting or offering or wait to receive the Holy Spirit. All right? At the moment we confess Jesus, we can all agree on that. All right? He indwells the believer. All right? He may not be aware, but that's what we are doing now. There's a confusion. There's a misconception about the Holy Spirit that we're about to open up now, you know, in the time that we have left. So I want us to look at that well, all right, so that we can understand the believer's participation in the infilling of the Spirit. Notice we are not talking about the indwelling now. The indwelling is there. God did it, all right. But the part we have to play is the infilling. We've got a part to play in the infilling of the Spirit of God. So we're going to consider quickly all of the gospel, all right? Now, there is the synoptic and there is the gospel. There is the gospel of John. All right? We'll clarify that later. We don't have all the time. But what we're going to look at, those instructions that Jesus gave, all right, towards the end of each of the gospel that was written. All right? So again, let me clarify. This will be about the same event. All right? So the different writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were writing about the same event. So it wasn't a different event, but they've just given different narration, all right? Different rendition, not narration, the same, different rendition of the same event. So let's begin to look at it now, okay? John chapter 20. Please pay attention. John chapter 20. We're coming back to this place. John chapter 20, verse 19 to 22. John 20, 19 to 22. Look at it. We're going to take time and look at this. Then, the same day. So the story here is the same day that Mary Magdalene will be the one to see him and all, and he was hugging and all. But let's go. Then, the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be with you. So Jesus came to them and he said, peace be to you. Now, all right, so that's the same day. Now, this will be the same day, all right? The same day, right? The same day. Don't forget, 19 and 20, they will be together because we're about to make some clarification in 21, all right? When he had said this, what did he say? He said, peace to you, right? Yeah. All right? Now, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw this. We notice that it's not just, they were not just glad. We're going to read other renditions, all right, and see. Now, 21. 21. Verse 21, please. So Jesus said to them again. Now, when Jesus said to them again, what I want to say is, between 20 and 21, that was not the next day. That wouldn't be the next day, all right? That won't be the next event. Don't forget, this is a highly compressed summary of all that happened. We're going to know that this, all that happened here, took a span of time. We're going to read that. You know, we have one of the writers of the gospel that helped us to understand this better. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Verse 22. When he had said this, he breathed on them. Now, breathing on them, we'll clarify that at another time. All right? And said unto them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what he said there. Okay? So, peace unto you. That's not the next day. Now, notice what he said. Notice what he said. He was going to send them out, right? He said, as the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. Right? Now, but in the same vein of sending them out, he told them to receive the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, notice, Luke painted it better. He said they should wait. But John did not put that waiting element here. All right? But we're going to come back and put all of this together. All right? So, he was going to send them out. All right? And at this point, notice they've not gone out yet. They were going to go out later. All right? There's no evidence that they went out at this time. All right? But he told them to receive the Spirit. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Let's study. All right? We, the charismatic church, we've been accused of just believing in miracles. Miracles, miracles. Without taking time to really explain and understand our faith. I just want us to understand this now. And I can see the time, but we will get there. Don't worry. Let's see. Matthew chapter 28, verse 17 to 21. Maybe we take it 1-1 like we did. Now, praise God. See how Matthew wrote his own account. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Some doubted. But John said they were all glad. They were not all glad. Some of them doubted. All right? And he was going to chastise them for their unbelief. We're going to read that in another account. All right? But it's okay. Now, don't forget, in that one verse is a lot of history that has been condensed. Let's leave that and move on. 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me. Again, this is another compressed story. All right? When he met them, when some of them were doubting and they were not believing and all of those, all right? And now, all right, time had passed. We have a writer that will clarify that better to us. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19. Go therefore. Now, that is John saying, as the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. All right? So it's the same thing here. All right? But different rendition, but the same account, the same instruction. All right? So go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Spirit and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All right? Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Amen. And amen. Praise God. All right? So that is, let's read 21. 21. Let's see what happened in 21. Yeah. Okay. That's the end of it. Okay. That's fine. Now, Mark. Let's see Mark's account as well. Now, don't forget that when he said go, you know, they didn't go immediately. You know, they wouldn't go until Acts chapter 2. Are we together? All right. On the day of Pentecost, Peter would be the first person to now preach. All right. So when he told them go, they had to wait. They had to receive the Holy Spirit. They had to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, that word receive, I'm just hoping we have time to clarify that today, okay? So, Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, again, that same. Let's see how Mark narrated his own story of the same instruction that was given. Mark 16, praise God. Mark 16, 14, sorry, 14. Later, he appeared to the 11. Again, the same instruction, the same event, all right? Later, now, John will tell us that it was the first day of the week. But, well, he didn't put the day here, but it's okay. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And he rebuked them for their unbelief. All right. Also, he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Verse 15. And he said to them, go. Can you see the point? Between the rebuke, and just telling them to go, time had passed. Are we together, friends? All right? Let's flow. Time had passed. All right? But then he told them, go. The same thing, you know, the reason we can, let's leave the reason. We'll talk about that later on, okay? So he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, you know, and all. So he said, and it says, lo, I'm with you and all. Now look at verse 20. Just verse 20 of that. Verse 20, and they went out and preached everywhere. You know, that's another, you know, that's Acts. He told them to go, all right? But, you know, they didn't just go everywhere. They will go everywhere later in the book of Acts, all right? So what I'm trying to say is that all of this is a compressed story. Why are we bringing this on? We're going to see that we have more details in Luke. Luke has got two accounts. He wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts itself. So, Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Verse 36. We're going to skip now. And 36. And now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. All right? Praise God. Can we put this story together now? Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. All right? Now, this midst of them, how did John put it? He says they were on a table. They're about to eat. All right? But Jesus appeared. All right? Okay, let's leave that. Now, you remember I said peace unto you as well. He said it in John. All right? So you can see the corroboration Now, look at it in verse, you know, we will start talking to them, start clarifying things to them. But verse 45. Verse 45. So he opened their understanding and clarified things. Verse 49. Let's look at verse 49. Look at it. So he will now clarify it to us. All right? He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. All right? What did he say? He says, but tarry. So they didn't just go to preach. All right? He will send that spirit upon them. All right? And it says that they should tarry until they've been endued with the Spirit or with the power from on high. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1. Let's now read Acts chapter 1. Verse 1 and 2. Then we may jump. We'll see how fast we can go with that. The former account I made, O Theophilus. So Luke was writing to a government official called Theophilus, okay? Of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, all right? After he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandment to to the apostles whom he had chosen. 3 and 4. Now look at this now. To whom he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. Now look at it now. Being seen by them during how long now? 40 days. So when you read Matthew 19, it is a span of 40 days. All right? So think about that. Jesus had died. All right? He resurrected for 40 days. Now we're going to an end with all of this story, please. All right? Now, so, and he speak to them pertaining, 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and he assembled with them and all. Now again, he said it again. Now you now know how, where this fits in. He says, but wait, tarry, all right, for the promise of the Father, all right, which he said, you have heard from me. Now, in verse 8, let's just go to verse 8 quickly. He says, but you shall receive, all right, power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now let's begin to clarify this quickly so that we can just move forward today. So this receiving of the Spirit, all right, is where we have the part to play. Now receiving here, all right, it says you shall receive power here. Now with, you know, it sounds, the way it sounds in our English is that you will receive power. Receive. All right? That's actually a receiving. All right? But you received it. You took it. Praise God. Now, pay attention now. All right? But then, that's not what that connotes. Like he said, it is a lambano. Putting the responsibility on them. Are you getting the point? All right? That's all of this. So he told them to wait. All right? Wait to receive, wait to take on the rest, you know, the power, the power, when the Holy Spirit has come. So praise God. We're talking about the infilling of the Spirit of God, right? Now, I want us to read some more scriptures just so that we can begin to tie everything together. Acts chapter 8. Please pay attention. We're going to wrap it up nicely in a short moment from now. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. We all know the story of this. Let me give us the background. Philip had gone to Samaria to preach the gospel. He had done miracles. They've now believed. There was joy in the city. All right? Pay attention, friends. Let's begin to put it together. They had, you know, now. So that's the story here. Now the news we get to the apostles in Jerusalem, all right, that Samaria had received the word of God. All right? Then they sent Peter and John to them. Now, you see, that word receiving here will be that they have believed. They have accepted. That word translated received there is the word dikomai. We've done this before, but it's just good for the topic we are studying today. All right? They've agreed. I wrote the meaning here. They agreed. They believed. They grant access. That, okay, yeah, you can come. Not to refuse. To receive favorably. So they've received the gospel. Now, at this point, based on all that we've studied, all right, do they have the Holy Spirit indwelling them at this point? When they believed. So they have believed in Jesus, received Jesus Christ, all right? Now, see what will happen again in verse 15. Let's read verse 15 together, friends, all right? Verse 15. So that's John, Peter and John, who, when they had come down, they prayed for them that they might receive. You see, the word receive there again is not the word dikomai in verse 14. This will be lambano. All right? Putting the responsibility of taking the Spirit. All right? Now, when we say taking the Spirit, all right, we will clarify that maybe next week. All right? I just want to clarify this basis very well. That prayed for them that they might receive. They might. Now, this praying for them, it will be praying for them, no doubt. Will there be teaching? They will be taught. All right? There will be teaching there. All right? Because this lambano will be for them to do something. They were doing something. They were, because to lambano means that you will go, it's of your own will and volition that you will go and take. Different from me bringing it to you, all right, and you received it, you will go and receive it. You will go and take it on. You will go, just like you go, you will put it on. All right, that's that word endow. You will endow, you will put it on. All right. Now let's run fast. Verse. Can we just read on? Can we make it two verses going forward? We're gonna 22. All right. I want to show us something. Now he said, because as at yet, thank you, Joy. As at yet, he there is the Spirit had not fallen upon them. Ah, I wish I had time to clarify this. So when you see had fallen upon them, don't read it as English. You see. The Bible is not as English as we think. There are a lot of idioms, a lot of types and shadows that we need. So don't see it as the Spirit of God coming. Again, the Bible writers, they will refer to existing knowledge. This knowledge will be dated back to Numbers 14, when Moses was leading the children of Israel and was the only one doing it, and God, through Jethro, will tell him to select 70 people. And God said, the Spirit upon you, I will put it upon them. Now, that Spirit upon them, how do we know that the Spirit is upon them? They began to prophesy. All right? So, the way you will know is that they will do something. They prophesied. All right? To the end that Caleb and Joshua was wondering, these ones, they are prophesying. And God will say, I will that all of my children, all of my people, they are prophets. All right? So, the point here, that's that term. All right? The term there of Spirit upon is an expression of the Spirit of God in the believer. Or, I said that better. The term upon, falling upon, all right, will be the expression of the activities of God through the believer. All right? So you will see God walking through the man or through the recipient or through the man that is filled with the Spirit of God. So it's not, don't expect to see like a rain or a bed descending, no. All right? It's an idiom. We're going to talk more about that next week. To see those instances where, you know, the Spirit upon, which is the infilling of the Spirit, is used as well. All right? So now, yeah, let's read on. All right? So they laid, look at it, verse 19, 17 rather, and they laid hands on them and they received. So they didn't receive. Now, don't forget, they've received the Holy Spirit when they believe the word, but now, because they will be the one to do something, they themselves, of their will lambano, will take on the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, in them receiving, pay attention, friends. Let's look at this. In them receiving this, oh, praise God. In them, let's do 19. Let's do 18 and 19. And when, pay attention now. And when Simon saw. So Simon saw something. All right? Saw. All right? You mean something was happening, right? So Simon saw that through, not Simon. Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, of the apostles' hand, the Holy Spirit was given. Again, understand that context, all right? The Holy Spirit is not given the second time, all right? It will be the activities, the Spirit upon, all right? Upon the second time, he offered them money, all right? Now saying, give me the power, give me this power and on, because I'm rushing now. Now, verse 20 and 21. Pay attention. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gifts, so it's a gift of God, could be purchased with money. Now look at this. This is the point I want us to see. You have neither part nor portion in this matter. See, this word matter is very important. If you open up that word, it's the word logos. All right? It talks about speech, about utterances, about things they were saying. You understand? So the matter is not just the ras matter. No, it's a specific matter. So meaning you don't have a part in what we are saying. There's a reasoning behind this, all right? He says you don't have a part in the speech, in the utterance. In other words, when the Spirit comes upon, we see the effect in utterances. Hallelujah. We see the effect in what people are saying. Have I lost anybody? Is it clear? We're going to clarify more next time. Okay, next week. Okay, we're going to continue. The point I'm trying to make is that when the Spirit comes upon, it is of the Spirit upon that we call the infilling is the will of the recipient. All right? So we are not waiting for the Spirit to open our mouth to talk. Are you getting my point? It is your will. It is you that will, by the Spirit of God in you, by this knowledge, you will do something. You will prophesy. You will speak. You will give utterances. Hallelujah. Let me just read my point now. All right? So don't forget, the Spirit upon, the infilling of the Spirit, we are using it interchangeably now, okay? Okay. When filled with the Spirit, there are things to see. Can we agree? Because Simon saw something because the Spirit came upon them. They were filled with the Spirit. All right? So there's something to see in verse 21. All right? There are things to hear. There are things to know. Hallelujah. So when we are filled with the Spirit, there is expression. The Holy Spirit become active in and through us. The Holy Spirit becomes becomes active in and through us. All right? Now, we continue from here next week. I wrote here, let me just read. To be filled with the Spirit is to be influenced, steered, and directed by the Spirit of God. His activities become evident. The gift of the Spirit finds expression. We're talking about filled with the Spirit. All right? Let me just say this very well. Very importantly, therefore, it happens through speaking. All right? We've clarified indwelling. We've clarified infilling that we've called upon. We said it is for service. All right? Now we've seen how Jesus told them to wait to receive. Now that receiving will be them lambanoi, taking it upon themselves. All right? Now we're getting to how. Do I just take a chair or what am I taking upon myself? We're going to continue from this point next week. We are getting to the fact that it is by speaking. The gateway, I wrote it here, all right? The gateway to the infilling or to being filled with the Spirit is by speaking. Will that put a responsibility on you? Yes. All right? So if you notice in each of the places where Bible says they were filled with the Spirit, they are either prophesying, they were either saying something. We've just read our psalm and said, you don't have anything, any portion in this matter. The matter of that at that point in time were the things they were saying. Those believers in Samaria, they were saying something that has now been summarized as this matter. All right? It was a matter of speaking. Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians and we'll wrap up from there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. We're going to get more examples next week. It puts that responsibility. Please, can you do 19 with it? Please. 19. With it, so that we can just read it and wrap up today. Praise God. Hallelujah. He says, do not be drunk with wine, in which it's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. What did he say in verse 19? Speaking. That's what speaking. I feel like making it all caps. All right? Speaking to one another in Psalms, in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. So it talks about being filled with the Spirit, and it's talking about speaking. Now, I'll give us an assignment, all right? You know what? The best way to get the best from this is to go back and study it, all right? I want us throughout this week, do a study of everywhere men were filled with the Spirit, dating back from Moses. All right? So Moses, Spirit came upon them, they were prophesying. David was prophesying. Saul, Saul also, all right, he was about speaking. All right? What about his speaking? I think we'll talk that next week. All right? Now we've seen that it is speaking. It's the gateway. It's the start. All right? So when we say, let's just pray in the Holy Ghost, or let's just pray, or let's come together to say things, we are generating power. We are filling up ourselves with the Spirit. The way we say it, we say, we take what is within, put it upon. That Spirit that is within. The Spirit can be there within, and it's just there. Just tearing, just there, doing nothing. All right? But then how we bring the things, now, we're getting to the point now, we've taken time today to clarify, to read stuff, we're going to build on it next week. How we take upon, how we feel upon, how what is being referred to as the Spirit of God coming upon the man is not coming from heaven, quote and unquote. Hallelujah. All right? It's now, when we begin to speak and give expression, all right, what are we doing? We are giving expression to the Holy Spirit within us already, all right, to find expression, to find manifestation. Hallelujah. And that is what we mean by being filled. It is by speaking. Time will not permit us today to speak. My time is over by 4 minutes, and I need to stop now. Hallelujah. But then I want to encourage us this week, all right? You may have questions. We will clarify those questions, all right, as we continue. But make it upon yourself. The infilling of the Spirit is the believer's responsibility. Please, can we say together? The infilling of the Spirit is the believer's responsibility. Let's see this other one. The indwelling of the Spirit is God's responsibility. The infilling of the Spirit, it is my responsibility. I take from what is within me, I put it upon myself. I take from the Spirit within, I put it upon me, and I do by speaking. Hallelujah. So this week I want to encourage you. All right? And it fits well. I'm just going to say this. We're going to be praying next Saturday. Come around. All right? That is how we put the Spirit within upon ourselves. It is by speaking. It is by prayers. It is by speaking in tongues. It is by the Spirit. I tell you, friend, Jesus will want those men to go and serve, to go and minister. They were not going to do it by their power. He told them to take of the Spirit. All right? So if we're going to do the purpose, we have to say, oh, preach the gospel, do well, go do the ministry. All right? We, you and I, to do it well, it is by the Spirit. And by the Spirit, we mean we will take of it. And by taking of it, we will speak of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. We continue from them next week. Hallelujah.